ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantanilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Today is July 12th, 2018, and a little more than 10 days away is Guru Purnima 2018, a beautiful international Go Green conference is going to be held, perhaps the first ever such conference, and it is an event of immense significance for everyone, each one of us on this earth who breathes in oxygen and breathes out carbon dioxide to survive. Really such a heartening event to happen in this holy hamlet of Prashantanilayam. In fact, if you have visited the International Sai Organization website, satyasai.org, you would find a very beautiful teaser video. Let me now play the audio of this. It sounds very interesting.
Spend your time in the contemplation of the beauties of nature that are spread out before you in earth and sky. Green expanses of the crops you have raised, cool breezes that waft contentment and joy, the panorama of colored clouds, the music of birds. The Go Green Conference will help us understand the inherent relationship between God, nature and man, based on the teachings of Satya Sai Baba. In line with this, the two-day conference will include interactive workshops, networking with subject matter specialists, exciting talks by guest speakers, and a music offering. The Go Green Conference will take place in Prashantanilayam from the 25th to 26th of July 2018.
So that is the teaser video, and you heard the audio of the Go Green Conference. It's on the website satyasai.org. Even though the topic is environmental, at its core, if you see, it is spiritual. And it is for this reason I feel that such a conference being held at the supreme abode of peace is indeed a watershed moment for all humanity. Environmentalists declare how there is no way the planet can become green unless we plant more trees, reduce our consumption and share our resources. In fact, Swami also emphasized on this in a discourse on January 21st, 1993. Swami said, because there is deforestation to an alarming extent, the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has considerably increased. Therefore, the remedy for this situation is intense afforestation, growing more trees everywhere and protecting the existing trees without destroying them for other purposes. In fact, in the previous episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, when we talked about the Go Green Conference and the initiatives of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust towards the green movement, I shared with you how the Satya Sai Hospital, the super speciality hospital in Whitefield, has undertaken this beautiful project of transplanting 108 trees. So yes, Swami is saying here that protecting the existing trees without destroying them for other purposes is one of the remedies for this situation. However, when I think about all these things deeply, and when you reflect and read more on the environment and ourselves, and you look at what Swami has been telling us repeatedly, I felt that if you study Swami's teachings a little more and contemplate, you know, we will realize that if we plant more sensitivity in every heart, then our trees effortlessly will be saved. If we plant more sharing in everyone's mind, then our waters effortlessly will be safeguarded. If we plant more compassion in every individual, then our surroundings effortlessly will be conserved. The amount of time, interest, effort and energy that is being expended today to preserve, say, the flow of River Ganga, I feel if that is spent to preserve the flow of goodness in every heart, then not just River Ganga, the entire green ecosystem of its flora and fauna can be preserved for generations. Only when we nurture our good nature can nature be nurtured. This indeed is the evergreen way if you read Bhagwan's teachings. In fact, Swami emphasized this unequivocally when he said on July 23, 1975, "Foster the tiny seed of love that clings to me and mine. Let it sprout into love for everyone around you. Grow into love for all mankind and spread out its branches over animals, birds and those that creep and crawl. And let the love enfold all things and all beings in all the worlds. Proceed from less love to more love, from narrow love to expanded love." This is what Bhagwan so beautifully said in 1975. In another discourse in 1985, 11th July 1985, Swami says, "It is a pity that instead of paying attention to God, nature and man in that order, men today are concerned most with themselves. They think about themselves first, then comes nature, and very much less you think about God. From birth to death, from dawn till night, man pursues fleeting pleasures. By the exploitation, despoiling, desecration of nature, ignoring the truth that it is the property of God, it is the property of the Creator, and any injury caused to it is a sacrilege. And this is a sacrilege which merits dire punishment." And of course, Bhagwan goes on to explain how nature gives it back to us when we lose our limits in desecrating her. Swami says there is pollution in everything, such as the air we breathe, the water we drink, the sounds that are so jarring to the ears. There is pollution in the food that we consume, and because of all these, man's health is affected. Apart from this, man's mind is also polluted, and this is what makes man susceptible to so many diseases. And that is where Bhagwan says that man must make an earnest endeavor to lead a serene and pure life. And the way to do this is the observance of the three P's, purity, patience and perseverance. This alone will give us permanent happiness and good health, which is free from diseases. And then, you know, if you read Bhagwan's teachings more, especially, you know, during the 60th birthday, 1985, you will find Swami has stressed so much on the practice of sealing on desires. And Swami says that care should be exercised in providing comforts, as excessive comforts may spoil man's mind and cause misery instead of happiness. So comforts to a limited extent is good, but once you cross the line, then Swami says instead of causing happiness, it will lead to misery. Nothing good can be achieved without certain constraints. So it is always good. We know how everything within limits is good. Same thing Bhagwan says, when we also utilize nature, when we also work with nature. In fact, all these beautiful sayings of Bhagwan that I'm sharing, I picked it up from the lovely compilation which is done on the International Sai Organization website. In fact, there is a new book that is published there. It's called Nature is the Vesture of God. It is there on satyasai.org. A wonderful work. It has a very beautiful overview of Swami's teachings as well as the nature of the problem we are facing today with respect to environment and what are the solutions and what so many organizations in India and abroad, all the Satya Sai centers, what have they done towards this in the last 3, 4, 5 years. It's a very beautiful work. In case someone is interested about, you know, going green, interested about what Swami says about God, man and nature, this is a lovely compilation, a lovely book put together, and it's available free on satyasai.org. So when you think about this, spiritualizing our lives is the surest and most permanent solution to not only this problem, but all the problems of the world. Nevertheless, even as we strive for that, we of course can take many steps utilizing the buddhi, the intelligence and the knowledge that is being gifted by God to us, and we can see how we can bring back the purity of earth, how we can leave for the coming generations, for our children and our grandchildren, a world where they would not fall sick often, a world where they would sing the glories of God every time they see a flower blossom or a fruit ripen or hear a bird crooning in the bush. And it is so typical of Bhagwan to do first before asking others to follow. In fact, if you look at Bhagwan's life, if he asked us to put a ceiling on our desires, he did it first. If you have heard my series about the life of Mrs. Ratanlal, which on this hour I shared with you how she has seen Swami eating on leaves and Swami not allowing them to even buy steel plates, how Swami's residence in Vrindavan would be so cold, the floor would be very chill, still Swami was okay. He did not want a carpet on the floor. How his bed had a hole and he was sleeping on it for months but never mentioned it to anyone, never asked for anyone. Always adjusting, accommodating, always thinking about the devotees, always thinking what can I do to make that person's life better, to make that child's life and future secure. So this is what Swami is. He lived in a 8 feet by 6 feet room from 1950 till 1993. There was nothing there except a cot and perhaps a table. So that is what Bhagwan's life is, and that is the mark of a great leader. And today when you see, it is not just Bhagwan's personality. He ensured that this value percolated to all his institutions. All his institutions are him, isn't it? They are the living symbols of his love and compassion to humanity. When these institutions breathe, they radiate his love. And in this respect too, if you see all these institutions run by the Sri Sai Central Trust, they have been a pioneer in accepting and going the green way. In the last episode of this series, Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, Serene and Green, I shared with you, as I mentioned, the story of 108 trees transplanted in Bhagwan's hospital in Whitefield, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Science. In fact, that the story about this whole endeavor was published in the betterindia.com and yourstory.com. You know, these are portals, public portals, which carry a lot of inspirational stories, positive stories happening in India. And they were happy to publish the story of our Bangalore hospital. So this is just one of the green initiatives of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. And I thought I will take this opportunity to share a few more. If you have been reading our publications on RadioSai.org, I don't know if you remember, once we shared the story of a patient from Pakistan who had come to our Bangalore hospital for treatment. In fact, I also had a radio program on this boy, Sahil, who had come from our neighboring country, Pakistan. And this 7-year-old Sahil, right from his birth, was a sick child. When the doctors examined him, they confirmed that he has a hole in the heart. And Sahil's father worked as a laborer in Pakistan. 4 lakh rupees was the cost of the operation to save this child, and the desperate parents were devastated. And it is at this time that someone told them to contact Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Bangalore, which performs, as we know, cardiac and neurosurgeries free of cost. So that is how Sahil from Pakistan landed with his mother and uncle in Super Speciality Hospital, Whitefield, in May 2012. In fact, the detailed story is there on our website. If you can just type "Back to Pakistan with Love" on radiosci.org, you will read this entire story. I'm just narrating a little bit of it just to bring home one very important point. You know, the moment Sahil stepped inside the gates of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Bengaluru, the little one left the hands of his mother and ran cheerily across the beautiful lawns of the hospital, shouting, "Garden, garden, garden." You know, if you looked at him, he had suddenly transformed into the lively, bubbly boy that his mother longed to see. Actually, Sahil was tired, hungry, dusty, smelly, everything he should be after a six-day arduous journey from a remote village of Pakistan. Still, the sight of those beautiful lawns and the gentle colors of the hospital building as if infused a new life into his being. That was the first impression of Sahil, the little one. You know, when you looked at him, he was back to so much energy. It is like his healing had begun right from that moment he stepped into the ambience of the hospital. And needless to say, he had a successful operation and returned back to Pakistan healthy and smiling. And when I was talking to Dr. Sundaresan, the director of the hospital, he says, you know, the case of Sahil is a classic one. It just shows what the environment of the hospital does to a patient. And it is to protect and preserve this environment, this holistic healing environment, that we take good care of our lawns and our greenery as we do of our patients. In fact, the hospital has 333 beds, but it has 600 trees, and they are of 30 species. And besides these trees, you also have acres of lawn. So that is how Swami set up this beautiful heaven of love, temple of healing for the distressed. The director says, when the patients look out of their windows, they should witness only green and they should breathe in lungfuls of oxygen. This is what they want the patients to experience when they step into this hospital. And perhaps it is one of the reasons, this partially explains why the infection rate in the hospital is very low. It is less than 1%. So patients hardly, you know, are susceptible to infections, that it happens many times in other hospitals. And this is because the high levels of hygiene and the body in a better position to deal with foreign organisms, you know, because the hospital is something which is bolstering the body, improving the immunity of the body. But to maintain this environment, to maintain this greenery, you need lots of water. You need copious quantities of water. And in the last years, if you look at Bengaluru, the population density of Bangalore has increased by a whooping 47%. In this year, it has touched 11 million people. And with people, the number of people rising at such alarming rate, the city is obviously highly water stressed. So how does Swami's hospital manage with less water? How do they manage to ensure that the hospital taps never go dry? And if you look at what they have done with great foresight, 12 years ago, the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Whitefield set up its own sewage treatment plant. So now they have been using the recycled water for flushing and gardening, and this has been saving the hospital 50,000 liters of water every day. Not only this, in 2012, the hospital embarked on a rainwater harvesting project, and they created a 25 lakh liter lake, and this lake has been collecting every drop that falls on the roof of the hospital. And because they have this lake, and because the water, this lake is filled with water all the time, the groundwater tables never go dry. And that is the reason why, even when the entire city of Bengaluru reels of water shortage, the borewells of the hospital always have water. And it is not only these initiatives. In January 2017, the hospital took another green leap and they set up their own 100 kilowatt solar power plant. In 12 months, it generated 140,000 units of energy. In fact, the power consumption bill of the hospital used to be close to 2.6 crores annually. The government, looking at the work of the hospital, the completely charitable nature of the work that has been going on in the hospital since its inception, the government was very kind and it gave subsidy up to 2 crores every year for the electricity consumption. But still, the hospital had to pay another 50-60 lakhs every year because their consumption was 2.6 crores. But now, with the installation of this power plant, they are saving 50 lakhs every year. And in fact, the government has gone further now. The government says that we are raising your subsidy to 3 crores. You know, this is also partly to offset the rising power tariffs. But, and also recognizing the work that the hospital has been doing for the state of Karnataka and the southern states. You know, we have so many patients coming from different districts of Karnataka to have free surgeries done, be it cardiac cases or neurosurgery cases. So now, with the government raising the subsidy to 3 crores, the government, the hospital does not have to pay any power bill. But at the same time, you know, this has not in any way diminished the hospital's zeal to go for clean energy and conserve every bit of energy they can. You know, on a war footing, they replaced the entire lighting system with 3000 LED tube lights. And that's how they brought down the lighting power load by 60%. And this has led to 50,000 worth of power consumption every month. Similarly, they changed the motors and the ducting of the air conditioning system. And this has reduced the power requirement of the ICUs by 40%. So like this, the hospital has been at it, continuously seeing how we can conserve energy, how we can protect the power that is being generated by the solar, how to work within the means of what we generate, and how to ensure that we reduce the carbon footprint into the atmosphere. In fact, because of all these measures, the hospital has prevented 127.5 tons of carbon emission into the atmosphere. And the hospital has been really amply green rewarded. It saves up to 10,000 units of energy every month, which is close to 7 lakh rupees. So those are some of the beautiful initiatives of the Bangalore Hospital. In fact, it indeed is the first hospital in Bangalore to embrace the light of the sun to light up its wards and theatres. It is also the first hospital in Karnataka to have a 100 kilowatt solar power plant. In fact, if you are someone in Bangalore or if you are someone who visits Bangalore often, you know, you should visit the hospital. You know, apart from the spiritual ambience of the hospital, it is just a marvel to see how the hospital has gone green in such a beautiful way, in such a big way. It is actually a lighthouse for all the citizens in Bangalore and all the institutions in Bangalore. You know, there are a lot of institutions who feel strongly about it, but there are very few institutions who take the steps, the kind of steps that the hospital has taken. In fact, the hospital is in the area called EPIP area. You know, it is the Information Technology Park area. You have a lot of IT companies there, you know, doing fantastic work. But here the hospital stands as a, you know, as an oasis in that area, because in that concrete jungle, suddenly you see this vast expanse of green. And once you go inside, you know, you find it is green and it is also so serene and giving life and hope and health to so many poor people. Anyone who comes to the hospital with an open mind. So those are some of the beautiful initiatives of the Bangalore Hospital. And now once this solar project in the Bangalore Hospital became a success, the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust now thought, let's go big, let's now scale up. And that is how they set up a solar power plant for this hospital's sister institution in Andhra Pradesh, the hospital in Puttaparthi, the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Puttaparthi. And this project was 10 times bigger than what was done in the Bangalore hospital. So Bangalore hospital had a 100 kilowatt solar power plant, and the Puttaparthi hospital in 2018 set up its own 1000 kilowatt power plant, which is like 1 megawatt solar power plant. And it's really a very, very heartening moment for this institution, you know, located in such a rural area, like 160 kilometers away from Bangalore, and being able to set up such an institution, set up such a power plant. You know, there are so many institutions in Karnataka, there are so many hospitals, but nobody has gone this green. In fact, I remember asking Mr. Rajesh Desai, he's the executive engineer of the hospital, about, you know, how they felt when the hospital set up its own 1 megawatt solar power plant. You know, what was the reaction of the people in the hospital? And this is what he had to say.
You ask anybody in the hospital, how do you feel?
Hmm.
The first question is we are feeling very proud that we have gone for solar.
Wow.
Okay, we have gone for solar. So, in what way is it going to benefit you? Whether it benefits me or not, I have gone solar. I have been a part of contributing it to the society. Mm-hmm. I have reduced the carbon footprint. That's the reply you get in. And that is what really matters in today's mm-hmm. context, that mm-hmm. people really want to be a part of it. They realize the importance of mm-hmm. what carbon footprint is, what going green means, you know. Mm-hmm. So, under such circumstances, yes, in a hospital, definitely it plays a very major role. This plays a very, very major role, and going for a 1 megawatt plant, which is not a small rating, let me assure you. Because the moment you go higher in the rating, you know, the amount of space required to install such huge plants becomes more and more.
Mm.
And space is always a constraint in today's time, you know. So you take any urban places, yes, no way you will get this kind of space. For 1 megawatt, you need almost 5 acre land. Where will you get 5 acres in any urban city? So we had it and we went for it.
Mm.
And that 1 megawatt definitely is going to reduce our energy consumption, energy bill, to almost 1/3 of it. I mean, rather by 1/3.
So that was Mr. Rajesh Desai, executive engineer of the hospital. So as he said, their power bill is going to reduce by 1/3. The hospital's power bill is 3.6 crores annually now, the super speciality hospital in Puttaparthi. And now they can save 1.6 crores every year. You know, imagine what a huge difference this is making to the hospital. You know, every rupee that we can save, it will go towards treating another patient, another desperate soul. So that's the reason why it is a huge milestone for the hospital. And in fact, they are not stopping with this. You know, there are plans to augment the solar power plant to double its capacity. So probably by early 2019, the hospital would have gone 100% solar. Now it is about 40-45% solar, but perhaps in another 6 months or 9 months, the hospital would be 100% solar, and that would truly be one of the brightest moments in the hospital's 27-year-old history. The hospital still has enough space on its roof to accommodate panels for another 500 kilowatt. Plus, it has ample arid land. And, you know, even though rooftop installations are common, but when they tried to do these rooftop installations in the super speciality hospital in Puttaparthi, there were some challenges. So they did some of the installations on the ground and some on the rooftop. But as I mentioned, the rooftop installations on the super speciality hospital terrace was not like how it is done elsewhere. I was speaking to Mr. Ravichandra, the engineer from Mitra Energy Private Limited, you know. It is this organization which was executing this project for the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. And I asked him about how it was to do the rooftop installations on the super speciality hospital, and this was his take.
Little challenge we also faced at the super hospital roof, because it's large, the flash area is very large, and there are different levels for rainwater drains to go on. So there is a need for us also to design an indigenous structure which can match up to these levels and give some breaks between the connectivity of the structure. How does the whole non-penetrating structure should be installed? That we have not punctured the roof at all in all these areas, because we recognize Trust has spent a huge lot of money in making a weatherproof resistant roofs on the Super Hospital, and these need to be intact. And if you have to do that, then we should not do an anchoring or a penetrating type of installation. So we moved off into adapting a ballast structure.
Mm-hmm.
Where we created a ballast structures. We made the ballast. We've made them down. We casted them down. We moved them up. We put them into place. Then we have done the anchoring. On top of it, you can actually build the solar structures, which are a standard type.
So that was some amount of innovation that went in there.
There is a site-specific design was required to adapt these structures. These are not so prevalent in the Indian market today per se, because all RCC structures done in my previous experiences, they were all anchored. So you drill the roof, you put a chemical bolt, and you know, you've done it. But looking at the kind of weatherproofing layers done by Trust to protect the roof of the Super Hospital, I would have never said I would like to puncture it.
Wonderful, wonderful. So that is what happened when they did the roof installation of the solar panels on the Super Speciality Hospital. And that was so nice of them, you know, of Mitra Energy Private Limited and Mr. Ravichandra working for this firm to come up with a site-specific design so that, you know, they don't do anything to damage the roof. They don't do anything to drill the roof and not put a bolt to fix the panel, but, you know, come up with a new design so that the weatherproof roof of the hospital is protected. And they did come up, and as you said, you know, that was an interesting innovation, and probably we will not see it anywhere else in India. But for Ravichandra and Mitra Energy Private Limited, you know, the hospital installation was not so much a challenge. They just had to be a little creative. But a greater hurdle awaited Ravi and also the members and the engineers of the trust when they decided next to build a 800 kilowatt solar power plant for meeting the power needs of the new scientific edifice in Puttaparthi, the Central Research Instruments Facility. This is a new advanced research center that has come up. This is next to the library building in the Prashanthi Nilayam campus, and this is the center which is going to produce a lot of research scholars. The institute is going big on doing research, so there are many boys joining for PhDs, and the instruments and the institute is also equipping itself in terms of infrastructure and equipments to enable this new direction of the university. So to meet the power requirements of this new structure, the Central Research Instruments Facility, they had to set up a 800 kilowatt solar power plant, and panels for 350 kilowatt could be accommodated on the roof of various structures in the Prashanthi Nilayam campus, but another 450 kilowatt had to be done on the ground. That is one thing about, you know, the solar power plant. You need a lot of space. I mean, you optimize the space on the roof, but still many times that would not be enough. So this was the case with the archival building, the research building, Central Research Building. And so now where do we get this space? And the Central Trust had many options. Let me now play for you the clip of a conversation that I had with Mr. Rameshwar Prusti, who is the head of engineering, Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, about how they went about finding space for this extra 450 kilowatt solar panels that they had to set up for the Central Research Instruments Facility.
I would like to mention about the Hillock site. That's the research center site where we had to mount almost 450 kilowatt on the ground. These initial days of planning, we had thought of putting it on the lower ground just behind the planetarium. That was our initial thinking. But something was always troubling me, because that is the space being utilized for growing fodder, and didn't want that space to go. And we were looking at other alternatives, and then it just occurred that the hill behind the research center has a south-facing slope. And then why not? Why not we think of converting that slope to a slope that is suitable for putting up a plant? It had a steep slope of around, say, 45 degrees. And then we took up it as a challenge, and then we got almost, I think the present is around 15 degrees slope for setting up the solar panels. That was a huge work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of earthwork had to be done. We had to construct retaining walls to retain the earth. And then we had a beautiful site. Of all our sites, I think that is the most beautiful site. And if you take a view from the top, it gives a shape of a heart.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And without even cutting one tree.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean, it's a completely a rocky area, which we converted into a completely green area now with solar power.
Wow. I think that is something. Perhaps even the contractors would have found that, I don't know, challenging.
They were skeptical. They were skeptical from the beginning.
They were skeptical, yes.
Sir, I remember initially they were saying, sir, 200, 250. I said, nothing. We are going for 450 here. And what is that you need? We will do it. Because they had the responsibility of putting up the solar plant, and we had the responsibility of giving them the
land suitable for them.
Yes. Mm. And yes, when Swami is with you, it just happens.
Mm. Wonderful. So that is how a hill was converted into a solar farm, and you had a barren rocky surface with no vegetation today offering power for all the students who are doing their PhDs, you know. So it was, as Brother Ramesh Shapristi mentioned, it was a Herculean task. It was something that the engineers of the contractor, Mitra Energy Private Limited, were skeptical of, but it did happen. And when it was done from the top, it gave the shape of a heart. So it's heart. So it was like, you know, that was Swami's signature. You know, when you have that will and that purity of intention, it just happens. But I also spoke to Mr. Ravichandra, you know, just to get his take on, you know, how it felt executing this project, because, you know, I remember him saying that it was one of those really challenging endeavors that they had done in any time when it comes to mounting solar panels. Can you give some instances, you know, which were for you those really wow moments in this endeavor?
Well, if you look at this, okay, I would fall back on Hilltop again. As I was said, I took the devil's advocate position in why not to do here and why to do here.
Mm.
From that day, till the day you said, okay, the civil foundations are done, the rafters are done, the structure is mounted, the modules are in place, and then you look down and see that, yes, I'm looking at the hill. Is this was the same situation 45, 50 days ago? Is this was the case? That's a wow moment. Is one would have never imagined that a hill can be transformed. A lot of brains have been put on either sides by both trust people as well as us. I would appreciate each and every one for the amount of commitment they have bring onto the table. But that's a really great achievement.
Mm. Is this something first in South India, in Andhra Pradesh, or what's your take on that?
My experience, as I remember and I share with my other industry friends, there are some projects in the past, if you're considering Pan India, that there are a few sizes, but the sizes are small, the challenges are different. But nevertheless, I would say this would be first of its kind where you have done it on the slope of a hill and a project size of about 450 kilowatt.
So it never happened before?
I would not say that it has been done before. This is the first time.
Wow.
That's a wow moment.
That's absolutely a wow moment. So that is quite an achievement for the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, you know, taking up this as a challenge to mold that hill into three tiers with solid retaining walls so that at every level they could set up one set of panels with the right inclination needed. It was 21 days of hectic earthwork and another 21 days of, you know, diligent mounting of panels. And as you heard from both Ravichandra and Rameshwar Prushti, this was a joint endeavor, and both of them didn't know. Both the institutions were wondering if it is going to happen, how it is going to happen, but it just happened. And when I was later talking to to Mr. Ravichandra, you know, about, you know, what he thinks made it possible, apart from all the hard work that was definitely done, you know, the technical details about how the hill was shaped into three tires. So there was a lot of manual work, a lot of civil engineering work that happened. But was there something else also which added to this entire hill taking the shape of a heart?
But as you said, it was not just the ideas, but there was something else also carrying the project, isn't it?
That's true. That is true. It's people. It's the amount of people who bring that commitment, not from the my end or my sub-vendors end. Each and everyone, the one who carried the mortar from the ground level to the step two level. People made human chains. They figured out methods to do it in an apt way so that you win it in over in time. All is like once you get it in place and you mount the mounting structures, there you know that, yes, the job is done. Each and everyone, all helping hands, including the ones which has got water on top of the site on a hot summer days. Amazing. Amazing.
So this kind of teamwork was something very unique for you?
Well, I've seen teamworks between the teams. Like if you have, let's take Mitra, then you have teamworks between Mitra. And you say the trust, then you have teamworks between trust. Now this is completely cross-functional. We all are working like a team, and our vendors are also working with us like a team. So now the team size is blown up. Everyone has the same intention. Yes, this is the one which we have to tame and complete. And they have just done that. Everyone who supported in this. Work like a team support.
Given what the trust stands, what the trust objective is, and you saw the commitment of the people, how does it feel being part of such an endeavor? Perhaps you never got involved in a trust like this, which does this kind of work for society. Is that true?
That is. There were quite a number of trusts which are available today, and they have different motivations of their functionalities are concerned. This trust is completely different. They are selfless serving people. This is what I was quite amazed when I came in and see people, volunteers come on their own. They see that this 15 days tenure or 21 days tenure has been done here. Everyone who contributes here are completely on a volunteer and selfless basis. This is what is more prime motto which I have noticed here. Also, which drove me here saying, okay, Ravi, what's your contribution? It's an opportunity also for me. It made me also to personally get involved. Well, we do also overview projects. But at my personal level, I was been closely monitoring this project, both Super Hospital as well as the Hilltop. And the way what my takeaways are, what made me to even still stick today, is that flow which comes in through you. Today, if you have to come out from Hyderabad right after, you know, evening 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, next day morning you have to work, you drive all along, you come take a 2-hour nap, then you're ready for the job.
Wow.
So what made it? I don't know. So that's my practical experience.
So that was Ravichandra, the engineer from Mitra Energy Private Limited, who executed the solar installations in Prashanthi Nilayam, and you know, I was talking to him more, and he was saying that he's someone, you know, who's absolutely new to Swami, absolutely new to Prashanthi Nilayam, and as he just mentioned, you know, he would just drive all, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours from Hyderabad, and just if he just rests for just 2 hours in Prashanthi, he would be refreshed. He was saying there is something in this place, there's something in the air of this place, you know, it just recharges you. And then the other thing that he emphasized is, you know, here I forgot that I was working for Mitra, you know, as I was working with the trust engineers, you know, it was like we were one team. It was like we were one in one unified mission. And the mission was somehow, you know, do something for society, do something for an institution which is doing so much for society. So that is the teamwork that he was referring to, which was so touched. And he mentioned how he would like to be, you know, involved more in any other project of the trust. You know, this whole experience of being associated with the Central Trust, working with the old students, and so many volunteers who are part of the trust and who are supporting the trust have left a very deep impression in the heart of Ravichandra, the engineer from Mitra. In fact, he was talking about the volunteers, and one of the volunteers of the trust was Dr. Ravindra Prasad, you know, his scientist who is the principal investigator for ISRO's, Indian Space Research Organization's Aditya mission. And Dr. Ravindra Prasad also is an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, and he served as a voluntary technical advisor for the trust. He handled all the techno-commercial aspects of this, all the solar endeavors, and he did it for no charge. He traveled at his own expense every weekend from Bengaluru to Puttaparthi to guide these projects. In fact, when I was talking to him about the project's technicalities, he said how even though there are multiple solar technologies, when it comes to commercial scale of production, only silicon technology is economically viable because this technology is matured enough in terms of efficiency and longevity of the cell itself. And any other material based on organic semiconductors or organic polymers, they do not last long once they are exposed to sunlight's ultraviolet radiation. Therefore, for all these reasons, you know, he was sharing how silicon technology has a minimum lifespan of 25 years, and in fact it is this longevity of silicon technology which has prompted the trust to go for solar in all their buildings, because, you know, you will recover the cost of your investment in 5-6 years, and after that for another 20 years you have free power. And that's the reason why the Central Trust has gone for a 100 kilowatt power plant for the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital, and also another 200 kilowatt power plant for the Sri Satya Sai Archives. You know, the Sri Satya Sai Archives, which was inaugurated on last birthday, is the place which is housing all the audio video material concerned with Bhagwan's life and mission, and as well as Swami's handwritten manuscripts and all that. So all this is being housed in Sri Satya Sai Archives, and Sri Satya Sai Archives is now powered by a 200 kilowatt power plant. So if you look at all the solar initiatives of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, as on June 2018, in Puttaparthi alone, the trust has 2.1 megawatt solar power plant, that is 2,100 kilowatt solar power plants, and cumulatively they generate 3.5 million units of power annually. And the reduction of carbon emission is an impressive 65,000 tons. So 65,000 tons of carbon are prevented from going into the atmosphere. The trust has installed 6,667 modules in a total area of 25,000 square meters, along with 42 inverters. You know, these inverters are what convert the DC power into AC. So those are the technical details for those interested. But, you know, the trust has spent 9 crores for this. But the trust will recover this investment, as I said, in 5 to 6 years. And after that, you know, apart from the trust getting free power, you have gone green. And the interesting thing about these solar projects of the Central Trust is that, you know, they are all grid connected, which means any excess power that the ashram generates, it will go back to the grid, and that could help someone else. And all of this also have become possible because of the favorable policies of the government. The government offers these as two options for every solar power plant that wants to sync with the grid. Once they pass the government's quality standards, you know, these solar power plants can join the grid. And here they can either enter into a power purchase agreement wherein the government will pay for every unit of energy that a solar power plant connected to the grid generates and, you know, pumps it back into the grid. Or these power plants can use the power they generate entirely for themselves and pump only the excess to the grid. And this is the second option that the Central Trust has gone for, where, you know, they will use the power what they generate for their use, and anything extra they will give it to the grid. And this second option is called the net metering model. You know, basically, Dr. Raghavendra Prasad explained that what we pump in gets deducted from what we consume from the grid. So basically, you pump to the grid, and whatever you consume from the grid gets deducted from what you give the grid. So especially during night or on non-sunny days, you know, you might consume something for the grid. So that gets deducted from what you give to the grid. So you only pay for the net power used. So if tomorrow the trust generates more power than what our institutions in Puttaparthi utilize, you know, they would be sharing it when others can benefit too. So those are, you know, the modalities how the solar plants in Prashant and Nilayam are operating right now. And all of these, as I mentioned to you, have been done with the guidance of Dr. Raghavendra Prasad, very eminent scientist. He's a professor at Indian Institute of Astrophysics, and he has worked very closely with ISRO, as well as DRDO, Defense Research and Development Organization of the government. In fact, he's the chairman of Renewable Energy Committee for DST institutions, and he is a member and fellow of several academic bodies. He is working in adaptive optics, astrophysics and space missions. So someone very distinguished and happy for all of us to know that, you know, he's an old student of Bhagwan's University. So he has worked very closely to ensure that, you know, all these solar installations go smoothly, and he's coordinated with the engineers from Mitra and with the Central Trust to make all this happen. I also asked Mr. Rajesh Desai, who is the executive engineer of the hospital, you know, how he felt, because he was, even though he's a member of the hospital, he was, you know, working very closely, helping the trust. So actually, Mr. Rameshwar Prasthi, Mr. Rajesh Desai and Dr. Raghavendra Prasad, you know, worked as a team on behalf of the Central Trust, and they were working with Mitra Energy Private Limited. So I asked Rajesh Desai, you know, how it felt for him being part of this endeavor, and he had really some very beautiful things to share. What were your learnings, and what are those impressionable moments that you want to cherish from this entire endeavor?
Before I answer that, first of all, tell you something about Dr. Raghavendra Prasad, that the day we started the project, okay, the day the LOI has been placed with the contractor, till date, I don't think there has been any weekend for him. There has been no weekends for him. He has been working continuously. Not only that not only over weekends, actually. As a matter of fact, the interaction keeps going on almost every day, either over WhatsApp or over telephone calls, conversations keep going on, emails, all this. There is not a single communication system which has been set aside. You know? I mean, we have used all kinds of communication media for remaining in touch with day-to-day progress, anywhere, with his great expertise, great knowledge, great experience. Okay, it was really a wonderful day. Of course, I mean, Swami's blessings has always been there. Swami's grace has been flowing continuously.
Were there any moments when you really felt that, thank you, Swami, you know, but for you, I don't think how this was going to happen.
I'll narrate one incident, actually, which I have not shared with even my colleagues here. See, Advanced Research Center has been one site which has been most challenging for all of us. As Rameshwar explained you, the hillock, the hill, to set up an entire plant over the hill is not an easy task. Okay, but electrically also, there were few things which were very challenging. See, there is one clause in this where one has to ensure when there is a failure of the utility supply, that is when the electricity fails, okay, from the electricity board side, your solar generation should also stop. Okay. Because why the electricity has failed? Because there has been a problem, some problem somewhere. So that people will be working on the lines, overhead lines. So if your solar is on at that time, then it would be literally pumping back the power onto the grid. And the people working on the line can get electrocuted.
Okay.
So we had to ensure the synchronization part of it with the grid. That means whenever EB supply is there, yes, solar is there. Whenever EB supply fails, the solar has to trip. The solar inverters have to trip. This is what they call it as anti-islanding.
Okay.
Now, the biggest challenges in at Advanced Research Center is we had two electrical distribution boards. One at the entrance of the gate, at the main gate itself, and one is on the inside, almost behind the college building. Two electrical rooms are there. And the electrical room which is inside gets supply from the first electrical room. The first electrical room is nothing but a changeover room, they call it as. It has got supply coming from EB also. It has got supply coming from diesel generator sets also. And it has got supply coming from solar also. A part of the supply is coming from solar also. Other part of the solar supply from the Hillock is coming directly on the back side of the panel in the electrical room. So under such circumstances, the synchronization becomes very essential. Because the moment the power fails, the breaker on the this side, in the main gate side, will trip. And immediately the generator will start. If the generator starts, how will the supply on the inside room know that the EB supply has failed? So the solar will think that the supply is there. So it will keep generating. It will keep generating the power and it will keep feeding. And if my load is less, it will start pumping the current again onto the mains. But mains is off. So it will not go into the mains, but the DGs. And it can blow up my DGs. So under such circumstances, we're just wondering how to ensure that these two things are taken care of. Because it has to go. If for that, if I have to do, I have to lay a very long cable and it's really not practical. And that is where Swami sends people, okay, right people with the right ideas, and they come. Similarly, a person came, an expert came, who was in a similar field. He came for a different purpose, and he just gave a suggestion, why don't you try this? And believe me, that just worked. That just worked. Okay, that just worked. And we were all baffling for days together. How to do that? Because we didn't want to spend unnecessarily. We wanted to look at a simple solution because we thought so, that there is a simple solution available for this. And it literally worked out that, yes, I mean, we were just wondering what to do. And a person comes, an expert comes from nowhere. I mean, we had not called him. He came to actually sell us something else. He actually came to sell us something else. And I was just casually discussing with him. And he just gave this idea. He said, why don't you try this? And that's it. Immediately we got the solution and things like that. So Swami has always been with us, helping us, guiding us, guarding us, everything. When Swami is with us, I don't think we need to worry about anything. We just need to get going. We just need to get going.
So that was the experience of Mr. Rajesh Desai, you know, very beautifully sharing how Swami makes his presence felt. I know there was a bit technical. Maybe some of you would not have got what exactly he was trying to explain. But to put it simply, you know, the power stations here have to be connected to the grid. And, you know, that's the model that we have been following. And if the electricity supply from the power station of the government stops, then we should also automatically stop. You know, we cannot keep generating because then, you know, if you are connected to the grid, then it could cause problems. So that was the problem that they had to solve, how to automatically stop. And because there are two power stations, you know, two units, you know, where power was coming, one in the front and one behind and all that. So ultimately, basically, they didn't know how to get around this problem, and someone from nowhere comes and gives a solution, and that just is the perfect solution. So that is how, you know, Swami leaves his signature. When there is purity of intent, you know, the Lord leaves his mark on it. And that is how this entire endeavor for the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust
also has been, Swami has left his signature all the way in everything that has happened in this entire endeavor to ensure that the ashram goes green. In fact, I remember talking to Mr. Raghvinder Prasad, you know, because he was so instrumental in making all this happen. So I asked him, you know, how does it feel for him, you know, also as an old student, to be involved in such a big endeavor of the Central Trust? And, you know, what he said was so moving. When you look back at the whole endeavor and the way it has panned out, what are your personal takeaways and how does it just feel deep within?
You know, it's something which is inexplicable. It is so deeply satisfying, mm-hmm. and gives you a sense of fulfillment, you know, to be part of his mission. Okay, which I can't hope anything better for. So I, hopefully with his blessings, we should be able to continue on this work. I've done many other projects, but none of them gave so much of satisfaction as this project. So, which is, I think only the person who does probably can experience it.
You are empowered by this project.
Yeah, you cannot explain it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, mm-hmm. sense of fulfillment. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true.
So that was Dr. Raghvinder Prasad, and as he said, you know, apart from, you know, it giving so much meaning to his life, he also wishes that, you know, this endeavor continues. And in fact, I was talking to Mr. R.J. Ratnakar, a trustee of the trust, and he said, you know, by 2020, not only all major institutions, but every building complex of the Prashant Nilayam Ashram in Puttaparthi would be powered by solar energy. We already have sewage treatment plants to recycle water, which are used for our gardens and lawns. But he said we want the entire township to be environmentally clean, fully green and serene. And Mr. Ravichandra, you know, of Mitra Energy believes that, you know, the ashram will achieve this sooner than 2020 because he says people here are so much driven by selflessness and, you know, that gets rubbed off on anyone who gets to work with them. So this will happen much sooner than, you know, we all imagine. You know, come to think of it, it is so beautiful that, you know, the ashram is leading the way, the Sri Sathya Central Trust is leading the way for the world in how we can protect nature, how we can preserve this mother, the mother that has looked after generations of us and the mother who is going to look after the generations that will come after us. Bhagwan, in a very beautiful discourse in November 1978, Swami said, cultivate the divine qualities of love, compassion, humility and reverence for all living beings, reverence towards the earth and all the other elements. Only then you can draw upon yourself the grace of God, and only then you can render your life beneficial and truthful. I mean, this is what Bhagwan has always mentioned. That is what is one of the principal tenets of Indian culture too. The reverence for nature, to consider the earth as our own mother. You know, we have the five mothers that Bhagwan talks about. Deha Mata, Desha Mata, Go Mata, Bhu Mata. So Bhu Mata, one of the mothers, is Mother Earth. And with that sense of reverence, we should be utilizing this precious resource that Bhagwan has gifted to us so freely. Swami would always say, you know, if someone just picks up a handkerchief that, you know, you have dropped, you say thank you. But what about all the nature's gifts that have come to you so freely? Do you ever even look up once and say, thank you, Lord, for the air. Thank you, Lord, for the water. Thank you, Lord, I'm able to breathe. Thank you, Lord, for everything. I think if we have this attitude, you know, to everything that we are experiencing, then our life will become serene, even as everything around us goes green. Thank you so much, dear listeners. It was really a joy putting together this program. And of course, once the conference happens in Prashant Nilayam, we'll have many more green stories because the whole world would have converged. The whole Sai world is converging here to share about all their green initiatives. So there'll be a lot more to share in the coming weeks on this topic. And if you also know anything interesting, if you know anything beautiful that you want to share on this, please feel free. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. If you want to write anything to me personally, you can write to Bishu, B-I-S-H-U @radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with me. With prayers at Bhagwan's lotus feet and gratitude for giving this opportunity to share these beautiful thoughts. I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sairam.